with the sound guy. Hymn 134 will stand. And Blessed Assurance will sing the first and the third. Yeah, it's a great Fanny Crosby hymn. First and last. Yes. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
Purchase of Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Yes. Watching Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated, church. And grab our Bibles tonight. We'll get right to our message in Galatians chapter 5. Just finished this message before driving to church tonight. My wife says, cut a little close there, honey, aren't you? Thank you, sir. I said, yeah, but, you know, the Lord's got his timing for everything. Galatians chapter 6, I should say, because tonight we're beginning the final chapter of the book tonight. Galatians chapter number 6. And, can't tell you how glad we are to see Sister Jody tonight. We've been praying for her, and we continue to pray for her son. Her son,
Jared.
Yes. Praise the Lord that
Nathan,
that the Lord is in control, and the Lord's got a miracle for him. Well, tonight, folks, I want to speak to you on a topic I've entitled Bearing Burdens. Bearing burdens. Anybody at all here have no problems, no trials, no burdens to bear? No, nobody's hand is up. So this message is for all of us, amen? Look with me here in Galatians chapter number 6, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. We'll cover the first five verses tonight in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight for this passage of Scripture. And Lord, how we thank you that even though every single Christian bears many burdens throughout our lifetime on earth, yet we do not bear those burdens alone. First and foremost, the Lord Jesus Christ is with us and in us by his Spirit to help us along in these burdens. Secondarily, Lord, we're so thankful for the family of God. You've given us a new family, an eternal family, a wonderful spirit-filled family of people who desire to help us through our burdens and difficult times in life. Lord, there's nothing like the brethren. Lord, before I got saved, I had nothing but a lost world who didn't care one single bit about my burdens. But Lord, I'm so thankful that when I became a child of God and entered the family of God, I inherited a wonderful new family of friends who truly care. And I thank you for this church, Lord. Carol read a report Sunday night on what makes a scriptural church today. And oh, Lord, Ellie said on the way home from church, every single one of those answers that it spoke, we can apply to our church. We're so thankful for that, Lord, that we bear each other's burdens here. When none of us go it alone, we're so grateful for that, Father. Bless your word now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, beloved, Paul here in chapter 6, having completed his dissertation concerning walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, he now turns his attention to things very practical in the Christian life. He immediately addresses the issue of burden bearing, and how we are to aid each other in bearing them. So let's see tonight a number of things. First of all, observe that sometimes a believer may be overcome by some sin, some weakness, some temptation, some fault. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, brethren, if a man, now he's talking about a Christian man, not a lost man. Okay, he's talking to the brethren. If a man be overtaken in a fault. Now, notice here that any true believer at any time may be overcome by the world, the flesh, the devil. Some temptation overtakes you unawares and you fall to it.
We all do at times. It might be a misspoken word. It might be a lust of the eye. It might be mistreating a person. It might be a little, what we call a white lie. There's no such thing. But whatever it might be, it's some fault, right? Yes. And notice the first word of verse 1. Brethren. Brethren. Paul addresses the believers and says, if any believer is overtaken in a fault, I want you who are saved to put your arm around that loved one and to pray for them and to seek the Lord for them and lift them up in the Lord. Brethren. He doesn't address the world to do it because they don't. They'll kick you when you're down.
Amen.
It's the brethren's job to restore such an one. Amen. Now, a fault in the Greek means a lapse or deviation from truth and uprightness. That's what a fault is. It's any time we stray, we go aside from the right way as a Christian. And we all have. Hey, yeah. We all have. We all do at times, and we all need restoration from that fault, right? Now, go to James chapter 5. Hold your place in Galatians. We're coming right back. In James chapter 5, a very interesting verse here. James, the apostle, writes in James chapter 5, look at verse 16. He says, confess your what?
Faults.
One to another. See, if you're going through something, you need to share that with a sister or a brother in the Lord, whatever it might be appropriate. You need to share that so that they can pray with you about that. You know? There's strength in numbers, and the devil is an isolator. The devil wants to get you alone. He wants to get you out of God's will. He wants to get you defeated, depressed, and discouraged. Whereas the Lord wants to get you with his people encouraged and lifted up. Look what it says. And verse number 16. Confess your faults one to another. And what?
Pray
one for another. Why? That ye may be healed. Now he's talking here about spiritual healing, not physical. He'll talk about that in other places. But here he's talking about spiritual healing from a spiritual fault. It may be some problem that you're having, you're not able to overcome. And you say, brother, pray for me that I've overcome this weakness in my life. I don't want to drink. I don't want to look at that dirty magazine. I don't want to use foul language. I don't want to commit that sin. And I want you to pray for me that I'd overcome that. See, that's biblical. When you go to a brother or sister that you know you can trust. Amen. They're not going over the church and blabber, oh, you know what sister so-and-so did. You know? No, no, no. It's to a faithful brother or sister that ye may be healed. Then it says this, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That word availeth means accomplisheth. It accomplisheth much. Prayer works. Prayer works. Amen. So point number one, sometimes a believer may be overcome by some fault and we need to bring that fault to someone we can confide in. We all need a brother or a sister that we feel really comfortable with. Doris is saying amen because she knows the feeling. Amen. And we've all been there. And you go to that person and you say, hey, let's have a cup of tea and talk. Amen? We're not talking about somebody else. We're talking about us. See? All right. Secondly tonight, notice who is supposed to go to the one who's overcome with the fault. Who's supposed to go to him? Verse 1 again. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. Yes. Notice in verse 1, he says, I don't want the carnal, backslidden, weak, prideful Christian to go to him and restore him. I want the spiritual one to go.
Amen.
Now, how many of you knows that there are three types of people on this planet? Only three. Everybody falls into one of these three categories. There is natural man. The natural man, are they saved or lost? They're lost. That's right, Carol. There is the carnal man. Are they saved or lost? What are they?
Carnal.
Are they saved or lost, the carnal man? Thank you, Ellie. They're saved. Thirdly, there is the spiritual man. Are they saved or lost? They're saved and they're spirit-filled.
There's three types of people. Go to 1 Corinthians. I'll show you this real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Bible identifies three types of people on planet Earth. Most of them fall into the first category, the natural man. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look with me in verse number 12. This is 1 Corinthians 2:12. The first one we want to look at is the natural man. Who is he? Now, verse 12. Now we, Christians, have received not the spirit of the world, that's a demon spirit, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, unregenerate, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. See that in verse 14, he talks about the natural man. He's naturally unregenerate. The word natural, he's got Adam's sin nature. He's a sinner by nature. We all are before we get saved. So he's still in the natural state. He hasn't been saved. He cannot be called a spiritual man because he's still in an unregenerated state, condition. That's the natural man. Then we have the carnal man. Go with me to chapter 3. Go to chapter 3. It says, and I, brethren, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. We'll get to that guy. But as unto what?
Carnal.
Now, is he talking to Christians or lost people?
Christians,
because the first word he says is brethren. They're saved. But they're carnal Christians. I can't speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. They've never grown spiritually. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, the deeper things of the word of God, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Why? For ye are yet carnal. Didn't say you're lost. They're saved. But they're carnal Christians. For whereas there is among you, here are some signs of a carnal Christian. Envying, strife, divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? He's saying you're living like lost men. But you're saved. You shouldn't be. That's the carnal man. The carnal man is saved. But they're not in a position to restore a Christian who's got a fault, because they themselves have their own faults to deal with. You see? The third one, spiritual man. Go back to chapter 2. Look with me at verse number 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is what?
Spiritual
judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. What's that mean? Now, let me explain what that means. The spiritual man, the man who walks in the Spirit, the man who is walking in victory, judges all things by this book. By this book he discerns, is it okay for me to do this? Is it okay for me to go there? Is it okay for me to think that thought? And the Bible tells him. Why? He's judging. Now, how many times, just this week I had a lady come to me, judge not that ye be not judged. Matthew 7:1. And I said, ma'am, that's not for you. What do you mean? That's kingdom law. During the millennium, if you judge someone, you'll be in danger of being cast into the Gehenna during the millennium. That's kingdom law. Matthew 5:6-7 is kingdom law. It's not age of grace law. So when Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged, he was giving the Jews one of the kingdom laws that will be in effect soon when the millennial kingdom is set up. Here, this would be a contradiction in the Bible. Look at it. Verse 15. He that is spiritual judgeth. I told her, I judge everything. What? Are you a judge? Nope. I said, I'm a child of God who judges everything in this world by this book. If it's acceptable to God, it's okay with me. If it's unacceptable to God, I don't want it in my life. You see that? So you are to judge everything according to this word. We're not talking about judging a person's heart. Okay? You can't do that. And you're not supposed to. Only God can see the heart. So this is the three types of people. Now go back to Galatians chapter. Now that you know what the spiritual man is. One who, oh, by the way, back there in 1 Corinthians 2:15, he said, he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Yeah. You know what that means? That means he is not discerned. The Greek word means discerned. You're saved. You're a spiritual man, but they don't know it. You just look like, you know, Job, Gary going down the street. You know, they don't know. You know, they don't perceive that you're a spiritual woman, a spiritual man. You're not. That's what that verse means. They don't judge you as being a spirit-filled Christian. All right, look with me in Galatians chapter 6 again. Now, look what he says. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Now, the third thing I want you to see tonight is also found in verse 1. Observe the manner in which we are to go to the brother overtaken in a fault. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Very important. You don't go and beat him over the head with the Bible. You dirty scoundrel, you're going to go to hell if you don't repent. No. No. That would be prideful, wouldn't it? He doesn't want you to go to that person in pride and say, oh, like the Pharisee and the publican. He said, I'm glad I'm not like this publican, this sinner. And Jesus said the publican went home justified, not the Pharisee. Why? Because he was full of pride. You don't go full of pride to a brother who needs help. You go humbly. He says, in the spirit of meekness. Now, meekly we are to go. Humbly, gently. You know, some things need to be handled with kids' gloves, very gently, as the Holy Spirit would have us. Because some things are very sensitive. Some issues are real. You can't go in there like a bull in a china shop. You'll destroy the place. You gotta go. You gotta walk softly. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look with me here at verse number 21. Paul says to the Corinthian church, who were a carnal church, they were overtaken in faults. 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. That's the Holy Spirit. What will ye? That I come unto you with a rod, or in love, and in the spirit of meekness? Paul says, look, I don't want to come to Corinth and get up at the pulpit and start slamming it and say, you dirty rat, you better repent. He says, I want to come in the spirit of meekness and of love and display the love of Christ before you. But in order for me to do that, he's saying, you need to repent of this carnality, Corinth. Spirit of meekness. Notice the wording, spirit of meekness. Same wording. Go to chapter, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. So important that we, when someone confides in you, okay, you don't turn around and burn them by telling somebody else about it. You honor that, secrecy, that trust. You honor that. In 2 Timothy, look with me in chapter 2 at verse 25. In what? Meekness. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You know, you've heard it said, some people are their own worst enemies. that's what Paul's saying here. They oppose themselves. The guy, you know, it's like the guy's got a gun to his head and he's ready to pull the trigger. No, don't. You'll hurt yourself. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Says in verse 25, do it in meekness. Do it in love. Do it gently. Do it in the Holy Spirit. And you won't go wrong. Amen. Fourthly tonight, back to Galatians chapter 6. Fourthly, notice the consideration. Verse 1, brethren,
If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering who?
Thyself.
Lest thou also be tempted. Notice the consideration in verse 1. It's while you're ministering to somebody else, you need to consider your own weaknesses and your own vulnerability, because we all have it. We all have it. None of us are above another. Amen? Listen, none of us are exempt from temptation and from the possibility of falling into sin ourselves. I always say this. Any Christian is capable of any sin, anytime. Why? Because we still have this. We still have this. And we need the Holy Spirit to be in control, not this. Amen? Now, go to Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, notice what the apostle says concerning considerations. Consideration. In Hebrews chapter 10, look with me at verse 24. Verse 24. The writer says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. While we're trying to help someone else, we need to consider each other. Amen? And here is the key to the Christian life. We no longer live for self. We live for, number one, we live for Jesus Christ. Amen. And number two, we live for others. You know what the definition of joy is? Jesus first, others second, you last. If we keep that in mind, that concept is so true. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We need to provoke each other for goodness' sake. Look at chapter 12 of Hebrews. Chapter 12. Look at verse number 3. He says, for consider him, that's Jesus Christ, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We need to consider what Jesus Christ endured for us, lest we grow tired in this Christian life and throw in the towel. You know, a lot of believers are thrown in the towel today. A lot of churches are emptying out. People are quitting on God, folks. I'm not making this up. I talk to pastors all over the world, and they tell me their churches are emptying. What's happening? I'll tell you what's happening. Look at verse 3. They're growing weak, and they're fainting. That's called passing out spiritually, to the point where you don't even know that person is a Christian. You know what we need to do? We need to stand fast in the Lord and in the power of His might, and don't quit on God. Now is no time to throw in the towel, folks. We are so close to the Lord's coming. It is mind-boggling. Fifthly, tonight, observe Paul's godly advice. Back in Galatians chapter 6, notice Paul's godly advice in verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. Oh, I like this. He says, indeed, beloved, if one of us is hurting, we all hurt. If one of us is rejoicing, we all should rejoice. If one of us is in pain, we should feel their pain with them. Because we're part of each other. We're part of each other, aren't we? We're a family. And we don't go through anything alone. Go with me to Romans chapter 15. In Romans chapter 15, somebody read us verse 1. Oh, I like this. Verse 1.
We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves.
Oh, wow. Paul says we that are strong what? Strong physically? No. We're not no bodybuilders. Spiritually strong. We that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. He's saying, help bear that burden of that brother or that sister so that they can make it through. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Jesus Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Jesus Christ always pleased the Father and not himself. That's the attitude you and I have to have in our daily lives. I'm going to please God, number one, and then I'm going to please my neighbor. In other words, I'm going to help my neighbor through whatever he's going through, whatever she's going through. Back to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Notice, sixthly,
Notice what this burden sharing will accomplish. Verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What? You mean I have the opportunity and the possibility of fulfilling the law of Christ? Yes, you do. Every day. Every day you do. Listen now. What is the law of Christ? Look at verse 14 of chapter 5. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, if you love somebody, you're not going to do anything to hurt that person. Because you love them. You don't want to hurt them, right? Go to John chapter 13. Gospel of John chapter 13. What is the law of Christ? In John chapter 13, Jesus tells us, words in red, what that law is. John 13, verse 34. Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you. What is it, Jesus? That ye what?
Love one another.
Love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. You know what? Jesus is so smart that he knew that if he could get us to simply love each other, we wouldn't do things to hurt each other. But we do all things to bless one another. Amen? Love one another. That's the law of Christ. Love is the law of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm so glad I am under law. I'm under the law of Christ. Look at it. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 21. Paul says, to them that are without law, Gentiles, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. Paul says, I'm not without law. I'm under the law to Christ. And so are you. It's a higher law than the Mosaic law, because the law of Christ is accompanied by the Holy Spirit of God to enable you to do it. I love that. Go with me to James chapter 1. There's nothing like the law of Christ. It's precious because it's his voice doing what he wills. In James, see, the Old Testament law of Moses said do, 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 but never gave the power to do it. Never gave the strength to do it. Jesus says do, and he gives the strength to do it by his Spirit. James chapter 1, look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. It's not a law of bondage like the Old Testament. It's a law of liberty. And continueth therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Why shall he be blessed? Because he's under the law of liberty. Christ hath set us free. The liberty wherewith he has set us free. Isn't that good? Go with me to chapter 2 of James. Look at verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law, notice this law is from a king. It's a royal law. According to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. I'm under the royal law of the King of Kings. In chapter 2, verse 12. So speak ye and so do ye, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. The law of liberty. That means the person who is under it is already free from sin's penalty. You're already free. You're under the law of liberty. That means freedom. Wow, that's so good. I'm so glad I'm not under Mosaic law, but under the law of Christ, which is the law of liberty. Back to Galatians. Seventhly, quickly, observe the danger of self-deception. Verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now, verse 3 is talking about a prideful, arrogant attitude. Someone thinking they're really a spiritual giant. We got a bunch of them called televangelists. Send me your money and you'll be blessed. Why don't you send me your money, you know? It's ridiculous, guys. But listen, this is self-deception. He says, if a man think himself to be something, I'm really something. No, he is nothing. The Bible says here, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. He's self-deceived. How we need to stay humble is what Paul is saying here. And folks, oh, here is a wicked thing that I hate. When someone sees a brother or a sister
and they're overtaken in a fault, and they start looking down on that Christian. Huh, they're not as spiritual as me. Look what they're doing or what they're going through. No, that's nothing but dirty, stinking, rotten pride, and God hates that. You humbly pray for that person and love them back. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Look with me at verse 2. Verse 2. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, yet knoweth he nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Verse 2 says, don't go around bragging and saying, oh, I know it all. You ever seen a know-it-all? You can't tell them anything. They know it all. He says, you know, they know it all. You can't tell them anything. That's a horrible disposition. He says, but if any man love God, the same will be known of him or her, Doris. I know that sister loves the Lord, man. That's one thing you can't take away from her. Or anybody else that you know loves God. The same is known of him. Eighthly, something else tonight, back in Galatians chapter 6. Notice the need for testing. There is a great need for testing. Verse 4. But let every man prove, the Greek word is test, his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now what he's saying here is we need to test the motive for what we do. Why am I doing this? What is my motive? If my motive is self-glorification, or if my motive is so that I can boast about what I did, you've got the wrong motive. Amen. And you've got to prove that and test that to see if it's right. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 11, just a few pages back. 1 Corinthians 11. Look with me at verse 28. 1 Corinthians 11. Somebody read me verse 28.
But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I love that. Let a man examine himself. Yeah. See, we want to put our eyes on somebody else. Oh, I see what that person doing. Never mind. Look at your own heart. Make sure your own self is right with God. Yes. And then he says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnate, that's judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many Christians are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That's physical death. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. See that? Listen, if you sin, all you have to do, according to verse 31, is confess that to the Lord, and He'll forgive you. Look at verse 32. But when we are judged, that's if you don't confess that, you don't repent of it. God's going to judge you, chasten you. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord.
Amen.
Why? That we should not be condemned with the world. See, it's too late for you. You can't go back to the world. You're already saved, and God is going to hold you accountable for how you live.
Amen.
See, He'll chastise you. He'll judge you and bring you back to Himself, and it may be painful at times. All right, something else, quickly. Finally, observe the promise of burdens in this life. Verse number 5. Galatians 6, look at verse 5. Why, Paul? For every man and woman shall bear his own burden. Now, in verse number 5, Paul brings it all together and says, none of you are exempt from burdens, heartaches, disappointments, trials, and difficulties in this life. Folks, listen to me. God never promised you a bed of roses. He promised you an eternity in heaven with Himself. He never promised you a trouble-free life. If you love His Son, in fact, He said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
He said, let a man take up his cross daily and follow me. He said, marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you. He said, the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You want to follow me? Think it through. It might get a little rough down the road. Peter said, yea, and if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Hey, do you know what they did to Peter? They crucified him head down, upside down. You know what he said? They said, went to nail him to the cross. And he said, oh, put my head down. And they said, why? And he said, because I'm not worthy to be crucified the same manner that my Lord Jesus was. Instead of recanting, he said, I'm not worthy. Wow. Folks, listen to me. What am I saying? I'm saying you're going to have burdens. Some of you got them tonight. Some of you are going through a dark tunnel. But I want to encourage you tonight that Jesus is with you.
Yes.
He loves you. He's holding your hand. Though you may not feel it, he is there. He won't let you down. He won't disappoint you. He'll bring you through the other side of that dark tunnel. I don't know when, I don't know where, and I don't know how. But I know the one who will. Amen? He's faithful. He will not let you down. Beloved, these health, wealth, and prosperity preachers have another gospel. Look again at verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Mark it down. Biblical Christianity is a rough road at times because the devil is your enemy. But God is my Father, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. In closing, let me say this. I've got good news tonight. We don't bear our burdens alone. We bear them together.
Yes.
Father in heaven, how we thank you tonight that you are the great burden bearer. Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful that you took that knapsack, that huge sack of sin, that burden of sin off of my back on October 3rd in 1986. I bear it no more because you bore it for me on the cross. And now, Lord, as I go through my life, I thank you that I know you're with me every day, helping me bear my Christian burdens and trials and sufferings, Lord. And that by your grace, which is sufficient for me, I can endure them. Thank you for the promise of God. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Thank you, Lord. I pray tonight, Lord. There may be one here tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed. You've got a great big burden you're bearing. By an uplifted hand, you'd say, preacher, pray for me. I see that hand. I see that hand and I see that hand. I've got a burden. I need Jesus Christ. I see that hand. Put him down. Lord, you've seen these uplifted hands. But more importantly, you see the hearts of your people tonight. And Father, I pray in Jesus Christ's name. I believe every message from your word is timely and important. And I believe tonight, Lord, you want to take some burdens from some folks and bear them for them. I believe it with all my heart tonight, Lord. And I thank you that we have a church here full of Christians that love Jesus Christ supremely and that are ready, willing, and able to help bear the burdens of others in the church. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that we're never alone because we know Jesus Christ and God is our Father. Lord, I pray that you would reach out right now in this time of prayer, that you would reach out and touch individuals here tonight that need a fresh touch of help and grace and strength from Jesus Christ, that by your Holy Spirit you'd empower them, Lord, and give them victory over those burdens and assure them that it's going to be well with their soul because you are there. You will never leave them nor forsake them, that they may boldly say, the Lord is mine helper, and I will not fear what man shall do.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's grab our hymnals, folks. We'll sing one tonight. In closing, I thank the Lord for these precious verses of Galatians chapter 6. Because we all have burdens to bear.
Yes.
And let's go to 331, folks. 331, we'll stand. We'll stand and sing. Oh, I love the words to this hymn of the faith. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Great is his faithfulness. All three. Oh, thank you, Lord. 331.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not.
Amen. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars and their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love.
People, what a blessed service. I had no idea the Holy Spirit was going to hit us like this tonight. Brother Shane, dismiss us in prayer. And don't forget, family church prayer meetings immediately to follow if you're able to stay.
We thank you, Father, for the spiritual food you've given us tonight.
Mm.
We thank you, Father, that you are the one and only suitable Savior for us.
Yes.
Mm.
We thank you, Father, for teaching us that when a brother or sister is in need, that we can help them.
Mm.
Thank you for teaching us that it's really not okay to go turn around and tell the whole church that.
Mm.
To trust in one another. In Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Folks, no service next Wednesday night. Wife and I will be in the White Mountains. We've got a log cabin waiting for us. At Twin Mountain, up in Twin Mountains. Yeah, man, it's going to be nice. Carol, go right ahead.
You know how the prodigal son took his inheritance and went off and
wasted it.
And, you know, wasted it all.
Yeah.
And then he realized that he had done something that he shouldn't have done. And he repented, went to his father, repenting humbly and ready to serve him. And God showed me that's exactly how I want you to come to me, all of us.
Yes.
And repent humbly and serve him.
Mm. Amen, sister. Good. Prayer meeting, it'll be the ladies. I want the ladies tonight to pray over Sister Jody. I'm just led, the Holy Spirit just led me to have you ladies. Never mind about this prayer list. Take it home and pray over it. But right now, I want the ladies to pray over Sister Jody. You can lay hands on her and you got, girls can do it in the dining room. And us guys will pray out here. Praise the Lord. We will be here Sunday, both services, but no service next Wednesday. Praise the Lord.
All yours, brother.